RadioInfluence.com. The future is now.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Friday edition, the day after the nation's birthday-ish of the Dark Delight podcast with...
Happy 4th of July, you commie bastards, Val.
And Beans, did you love yesterday or what?
Yesterday was awesome. Awesome. Oh. It was so fun. It defied all of the same old ninny nitpicking nonsense.
I'm looking at a tweet right in front of me. Now it's funny because I said this too. I'm like, it's hysterical to me because at this point, Frank, and it was everywhere, all over Twitter yesterday. At this point, the people that are saying that this thing was poorly attended yesterday, that nobody was there, are preaching to the choir of the people that don't care anyway and just basically, convincing them that there's no reason to get out and vote in November. But I'm staring at a tweet by AOC, which I saw your tweet the other day where you said you have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, she just thought, happy Independence Day. And then she goes on to tell everybody what Independence Day is all about. Crush your mint leaves, you mojito stirring asshole.
Oh, goodness, I'm like choking on my own hysterical laughter. You know that she also decided to tell everyone what a democracy we are, right?
I wouldn't put it past her.
It was in that same tweet. Yeah. So anyway, she says Trump spent millions on a poorly attended one-day parade days after saying he couldn't afford toothpaste and soap for caged children. Did he ask Congress for military parade money? No. Trump held these kids hostage to secure billions for their abusers. Congress needs to see that.
Yeah, Congress, half of Congress are their abusers.
Half of Congress, the entire narrative is blowing up in their faces. Like, they're just flailing around. If I could tell you the number of ratioed tweets yesterday of people shitting, excuse my French, all over this country on Independence Day, it was so refreshing. I was like,
it's gotta get even worse for them though, because I'll tell you, it is a slow crawl. We've been seeing it with the Southern War, the Confederate statues, anything. What are Al Sharpton talking about? We need to defund the Jefferson Memorial. They are going after. This is a slow crawl. Now it's Betsy Ross. Soon it'll be the stars and bars in general. It's a slow crawl. They want the country erased. And it's not about, well, why don't they just leave it if they don't like it? It's not about being in a place they don't like. It's about this is the last place that needs to be destroyed to be able to see a global vision come to fruition.
Yeah,
so
no.
I hope it's beyond ratio. Needs to be stopped.
I mean, all you need to do is take a look at these photos coming from the Lincoln Memorial yesterday.
Beautiful.
I mean, tens and hundreds. I don't know how many people it takes to fill the mall all the way up and down the reflection pool or whatever. But
all I know is that Steven Spielberg and everybody out there, they have to usually CGI that place full.
Yeah. Yeah. And everybody's saying like that there was like, you know, somebody shared a tweet. I guess it was like somebody shared a picture. John Cooper tweets. I don't know really who he is. Who is it, this guy, this blue checkmarked guy? He's the chairman of the Dem Coalition, formerly campaign chair for Barack Obama.
Yeah.
It says, the tweet says, it shows a picture. There's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people. It's pouring rain. There's one person standing under a tree. And it says, Trump's event in D.C. today has drawn an embarrassingly small crowd. despite his desperate attempts to boost attendance by adding flyovers and a display of tanks. So basically what they're admitting in there is that people like those things and would try to come to see them. Not only that, but there's countless C-SPAN's video shows the sheer number of people here.
There was at least 200,000 people there. There had to be at least 200,000 people there because, you know, it wasn't just confined to that area between the Washington Monument and the Lincoln Memorial. It was packed wall to wall, if there were walls. And, you know, there's beyond that. In fact, I think the greatest thing is that when you look at the counter protest, because I went on to we were coming inside to see when things were going to be streaming. We didn't know if we missed something or not. So Matt and I, we kept jogging back inside the house to go through all the YouTube live streams to see if there's something going on. And of course, we couldn't find anything at this time because it was in the middle of the day and nothing was on until about 6:30. And I found this one live stream of NBC. So I said, okay, maybe this is the parade, because I missed the parade, unfortunately. And it was a NBC live stream. It was the only thing that I could find on YouTube that was live at the time. And it was, I guess, two tripod cameras that were fixated on this group of maybe two dozen people that were trying in vain to blow up that damn Trump baby balloon again.
There were maybe like 10 people there. I know.
It was pathetic. And NBC had a camera trained on these people as if it was the Manhattan Project. It's like we're here at the front line of the resistance. Like it was pathetic.
You know, like honestly, this is so, I want people, there are so many examples of this that I have to talk about today. I want people to understand something. They aren't going to be able to convince anybody of anything anymore. They're embarrassing themselves repeatedly. Yesterday was probably one of the biggest embarrassments to the legacy old guard media in a very long time. Because first of all, nobody wanted to cover it. Tulsi Gabbard, did you see her tweet?
No.
Oh my, I'm going to read it to you. She made it early in the morning. People lost it. There were like 17,000 comments on it and 900 retweets. Just to give you an idea. She says this. There's the self-serving politician that he is. Trump has succeeded in making July 4th about himself and in doing so further divided our country. This on a day when our nation's president should be uniting us. Now, She wrote this at 1 o'clock in the afternoon before the speech, right? That speech was one of the best testaments to our history.
Yep.
That I've ever heard anybody. And I say to myself, like, everyone's like, this shouldn't be politicized. I'm like, when did it stop being like the president of the United States is the president of the United States, not a political candidate? He's the president. He should be able to stand up there on Independence Day and make a speech. Maybe the rest of the presidents that we've had just didn't love America. I don't know.
It was something else to watch. It really was. And to see this and to see it coming from all the same people who want to see people like, I've said it before, George Washington. They want him, the statues of him torn down now. Every university that either bears the name of Thomas Jefferson or universities that Jefferson helped found, they want to remove it because, of course, he was an 18th century man and he's bad. 18th century man bad. We are evolved. Abortion is health care. You know, it's ridiculous. But it's all right out there. So to say that they're trying to protect what is behind the meaning of 4th of July and who is making it this or who's making it that, who's dividing the country. You're tearing apart the foundations, the people who actually brought the 4th of July into existence. You're trying to tear them up, stem and root from everyday American discourse to discredit all of the virtues and all the philosophy that they put into not only what was a legislative and a diplomatic victory, but a military victory, which is why it is wholly appropriate to tip our caps to the American Armed Forces on Independence Day. It was a military victory.
I'm trying to find the right words for what I want to say, because I'm sure you saw yesterday all the tweets that came out, like the two in particular, one from Jeb Bush and the other one from that retired general that really got people fired up. Did you see those?
No.
Oh, my gosh. OK. I thought you were in there in the room with us and you saw it. Let me tell you exactly what it is as I search. But
dipping in and out.
Yeah, no, I saw you comment something, so I just assumed that you read everything. Stupid me. Hold on. Here it is. Okay. So Major General Paul Eaton, he's retired. He says, "It was my great privilege to serve 7 years as a general. Donald Trump says generals are thrilled with his appalling plan for Independence Day. More Trump fiction. Generals speak softly and carry a big stick. They never thrill and should not stand near Trump tomorrow." So everybody was like,
Major General Asshole.
Yeah, but people took it as like a threat. Because he said, and should not stand near Trump tomorrow. It was just weird.
Like in proximity to Trump. Yeah. That didn't even cross my mind, although I guess I should start considering it.
And then the only reason why I think people were so up in arms about that was because Jeb Bush had tweeted out, "Three presidents die on July 4th, just a coincidence." And it was an article about which presidents died on July 4th. And I didn't read the article, but it was just like, why are you?
Wait, who was the third? I know it was Jefferson and Adams. They died on the same July 4th. But I feel like it was another member of the founding generation that died on July 4th.
I wish I knew. I'm going to look.
It was
right
18.
Now.
I think it was July 4th, 1826. And Jefferson died first. Adams thought that Jefferson had outlived him and he was very upset. But he actually won that battle. Hold on. Three presidents to die on the 4th of July.
What do you got?
All right. Just John. James Monroe. James Monroe. But two of them on the same day, same year, within a couple of hours.
Very weird. So yeah. Jeb Bush tweets that out, right? Then, like, maybe a couple hours later, we get a tweet from the Secret Service. And the Secret Service says, "The Secret Service has the no-fail mission of protecting America's leaders, and we do so with pride, especially on Independence Day. Have a safe and happy 4th of July."
What the hell's going on out there, Tracy?
It's just crazy. People were all over the place with it. It made like news articles. This wasn't like some people were just really upset about it because there's veiled threats being thrown around everywhere. But it's interesting to me how now on social media, you're getting these agencies like kind of poking at one another, you know what I'm saying? And like in a veiled sort of a way, left up for interpretation. But you can, if you see everything, you can kind of put two and two together.
Yeah.
Everybody was talking about this yesterday. There's another tweet I wanted to share. A friend of mine that I met during my march that I put on in Operation Justice, that march, I met her there and she's really cool. And she was sharing a whole bunch of her stuff. She was there and she was by this group of, I guess it was musicians dressed up like old Revolutionary War or whatever figures. I want to share what she sent because I think you'll really enjoy this.
Okay.
Hold on. Here it is. I'll link it. It's she's Braveheart Texas on Twitter. This is like right in the middle of the park. Just random people. Mm. It was just great. Like, it's like a few minutes long. But they're just standing there playing their like old, you know, old instrument. It was just really nice. And then the parade she shared, I was at her feet like all day looking at stuff.
Yeah, I tried to keep things very... I know that there was a lot of nuttiness out there, and it's this was the first year, obviously, because there's nowhere else to go. They have to, as far as the left, the Marxist left goes, there's nowhere, you can't stay still. You have to keep marching forward. So this was the first year that I really saw, or at least I got this from friends of mine who are still on Facebook, because I would never go on Facebook.
Yeah.
But this is the first year I really saw that there is the effort to turn 4th of July into how everybody treats Columbus Day is in full swing.
Yep.
So it's gangrene. The limbs need to be cut off, and we need to try to salvage the body. That's just pretty much what it is. Hopefully we can regenerate limbs like a starfish, because some limbs need to be cut off.
Well, I want to share another positive thing today before we get into the bull. Okay. I was sent a link to a commercial. It was a commercial of a food company, believe it or not, a food store. And there's not a word spoken throughout the entire commercial. It is just an older man who is getting dressed into his uniform, his military uniform. Maybe he's in his 60s. And it's just music playing in the background. And he goes outside. It's July 4th. He goes outside. There's flags everywhere. There's a barbecue going on. He walks outside, up pulls a cab or an Uber, and out steps what you assume is his grandson dressed in his military uniform. And they stand in front of one another and they look in each other's eyes. And the old man raises a salute to the top of his head. And the young soldier does the same thing. And like, they shoot back to the mom, it must be, from away, like the daughter of the old man and the mother of the son. And it's just the most touching, beautiful commercial commemorating, you know, our troops, the country, whatever. It's on YouTube. It's got 6.8 million views. It has 18,000 likes and 589 dislikes. That, to me, is the epitome of what they try to say we're all about. In contrast, the RSBN feed, not in contrast, this is another one. The RSBN feed last night had about 40,000 people watching at one point, and it had like, I don't even know how many likes and like 3 dislikes on it. Now, granted, they're preaching to certain choir, so I get it. But if you look at the NBC Democrat debate feed, they had a couple hundred thousand people watching. Their dislikes were, I don't know, somewhere around 30,000, and their likes were at like 17.
And this is all on on platforms they control too.
Exactly. I'm glad you said that.
It's all on platforms they control too. It's projection, it's illusion, it's suppression, because the reality is that we know what's up and people can smell a rat. I was even talking to my mother yesterday. Because, you know, we were all sitting in the driveway. Everybody was just rotating where they're sitting, wherever the sun was going, or whether they wanted to be in the shade. But toward the end of the afternoon, I was just standing in the driveway with my mother and my stepfather and my uncle and Matt. And we're just talking. And of course, you know, politics came up a little bit. My stepfather, he just, you know, he likes to jab at me, calls Trump an ass and all that stuff. But I don't really take it too seriously, because I know he doesn't really know anything or care. But he likes to get a rise out of me. My mother, on the other hand, I know she seriously does not care about anything. So I asked her, Mom, listen. And I know that you don't pay attention to this stuff, and it doesn't really have an impact on you. She's always looking for very lighthearted comedies to watch, or Golden Girls. If she can spend her day watching Golden Girls, that's fine for her. So I said, when you watched, she asked me, did you watch what did you think about the debates? Are you going to be watching these debates? I said, yeah, I watched a little bit of the highlights of the first two, but let me ask you something. Did you watch them, Mom? And she said, yeah. A little bit. I said, what do you think? Because I know you don't really go too deep into this stuff. What do you think when you see these people raising their hand that they're going to, they're a priority is to pump billions of dollars into healthcare for people who are not citizens. Anybody who can get here, just get here and we're going to take care of you. What do you think about that? What do you think about the expansion of welfare? What do you think about the taxation that they promised to be able to equalize society? What do you feel about all this stuff as just somebody who is a casual observer of all this? And she goes, I don't understand it and I don't like it. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm like, I'm happy to hear that come out of somebody like my mother, because
she's probably representative of a lot of people out there.
Absolutely. Because like I'm telling you, her politics revolve around what time does Golden Girls go on?
She likes The View.
Yeah. But like,
but that means something.
It does. It does. It does.
Yeah, it's important. I mean, that means something. I don't think many people. How did you end that conversation before we move on?
No, I just took that as okay. No, I'm glad you feel that way because it's bad, and we went into other things, but we changed subjects a lot. But that was something I took away that I thought was encouraging.
It is encouraging. I think that you know there is no way. First of all, there's no way they're going to be able to walk this back, right? They can't walk that back. It's too extreme to walk back. People remember that. It was talked about a lot. Not only that, but Trump will not let them walk that back. Oh. So they're in their attempt to pander. And I believe a lot of these people believe this stuff, like Cory Booker escorting migrants across the border illegally.
Yeah, I saw that.
I mean, we had Beto. Now they're one-upping each other and committing crimes. He literally committed a crime. Why isn't he in jail?
Cory Booker wants somebody to take a picture of him carrying a child across the Rio Grande. That's what he wants. He wants to be on the cover of Time magazine carrying a child like he's, I don't know.
It's so we've got that. Like they're alien in their attempt to pander to their extreme base, which is not the majority, but does most of the voting and is the most able to put their stranglehold around people to force them to act a certain way. Like, that's the thing in, like we talked about with the Nike thing. Like, they're supposed to be holding these people up, inclusivity and you know, all that nonsense. But meanwhile, they're being basically threatened and strangled into decisions that they probably wouldn't make if they weren't afraid of the mob. So that's what the progressive, crazy, extremist left is doing to these leftist candidates. And they're not going to be able to recover from that, in my opinion.
Well, yeah. And not only that, but Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, going back to her again, she's an actress. She won an audition with a group that is pretty much controlled by Cenk Hunger from the Young Turks. I mean, she has an obligation to keep this act up and to keep going. This is part of the demoralization campaign that they've waged. And like we said before, they're being flushed out into the open. They have to embrace what they are really looking to do without having to put any kind of blush or makeup on it, because they can't. They can't do this. The other thing is, going back to just every day, the whole day's events yesterday, it was, yes, the turnout was beautiful. The fireworks were awesome. I saw some of the highlights afterwards. I actually wish I was inside watching that than out in the street watching the pitiful display that was put on by our local high school in the distance. But other than that, the speeches, it was good, sound, easy to digest history. It was completely devoid of politics.
Yep.
Nothing. He gave them nothing to complain about. It was just good. There was so much acknowledgement spread around the American political sphere as far as our history goes. From Clara Barton to Frederick Douglass to Booker T. Washington and all of those.
Landing on the moon.
The contemporary people, those who are still living too.
Yeah.
You know, it was just so good. And as I was watching it, I said to myself, oh man, this is exactly what we needed. And all the flyovers were awesome. I thought that the Navy flyover with the B-2 and the two F-22s, tell me that that didn't look like, I was like, wow, that is an alien craft flying over the Washington, D.C. right now.
I know. I saw that and I was like, and that's what they're showing us they have.
Yeah. I said, like, look at that black triangle flying over all of us right now. That is amazing. Oh, man.
It was great. It was really good. Another interesting thing that happened yesterday was, well, I think I saw it yesterday. The Customs and Border Patrol from Arizona decided to do a video showing people a look inside of the processing center in Arizona. And it is nothing like it's not. I've seen so many tweets from everybody saying things like, in the military, I didn't even have facilities as nice as this. Or, you know, when I was a cop and I went to, you know, to shower after training, I didn't even have to. I had to stand in a herd with my fellow officers showering.
Tracy, I was looking at one of those bathroom videos from these border patrol facilities over there. And the first thing I thought about was that damn hostel I was about to sleep in last time I went down to D.C. It's like, absolutely. You know, and I paid $300 for that privilege.
Oh, God, I know. I know. It's crazy. Now, listen. So they do this video, right? And it's, look, they show a supply closet where they have all the clothes and the diapers and the wipes and the formula. And then they specifically point out the toothpaste issue. He said, these are toothbrushes. They are all loaded with a single dose of toothpaste, and people can have, they're all given to everybody and they're able to request more than one. Here's the snacks. We have cookies and crackers and, you know, all kinds of snacks and drinks. Every cell has a jug of fresh water in it, along with the combination sink, toilet bowl, whatever. And the gentleman who's doing it actually takes a drink of water out of the toilet bowl facility sink and says this water is perfectly safe. And he does it right in front of everybody.
Whatever happened to, and of course, people like Alexandria and all of her crazy fellow traveler friends, once they lob their handful of shit over the fence at their enemies, and then they never bring it up again, because of course there is no back and forth. They don't give a time of day to their opponents in a debate or a dialectic setting, because of course that is where they will be summarily picked apart limb by limb. So what they do is they dedicate themselves to slinging shit and moving on to the next subject, because as long as there is a social media footprint out there, they can just keep leaving that and allowing people to just go and believing what they say as if it is law. Now, so one of the things she said, of course, she's not going to respond to any of these people who have come forward to refute her retelling of how these facilities are set up, even though that those tellings in themselves are outside of the fact that the facilities only may look like they are, I don't know, they are underwhelming because of how overwhelmed
they are.
They have been.
Right.
They've been overwhelmed. And why is that? Because especially for the last 6 or 7 months, since, or actually even more, especially in the lead up to the midterm elections last November, the play for the left and its media was to deny that there was a crisis at all. So they kept the doors open. They wedged the doors open at the southern border once again for another 7 to 8 months. They allowed more and more people, hundreds of thousands of people, to show up. We know over 130,000 people showed up in May alone. And now they say that there's a crisis because there's too many people in the facilities. It was always their fault. They're always controlling the narrative or attempting to.
Yeah.
So now my thing is here too. Didn't she claim that she was sexually harassed?
Yes, she
by Border
did.
Patrol?
She did.
Is she ever going to be responsible for proving that?
No, because she didn't file a complaint, so there won't be any investigation.
Oh, okay. Me Too moment.
Exactly. And you know, she flagrantly does this stuff and then she never addresses it. But people aren't forgetting. So, goodness. Hey, I have something really cool, really cool. Guess what?
What?
We are so excited to bring back to you guys Sunbasket.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. No matter what you guys like to eat, Sunbasket makes it easy. All kinds of different meals. Frank, this is on you because I stopped mine a little bit ago, but you are going to share your experience with Sunbasket for everyone now.
Oh, we've been, Lauren and I have been ordering Sunbasket. We've been on board with, I think we've only skipped 2 or 3 weeks of Sunbasket deliveries in the last 3 or 4 months. It has been, or more, I don't know. It's the time flies by because you don't have to rack your brain thinking about what you have to go out and buy. It's just so awesome. I've been eating off of the Lean and Green diet for a while now, and very, very exciting. Very exciting stuff. I'll tell you, tastes and recipes I've never even imagined would be on the table for a Wednesday night or something like that. So I really, really do love it.
You guys, they have mouth-watering dishes. Like, seriously, the recipes, you'd never pick them yourself. You'd never pick them yourself. You'd never be able to do it, but you have the chance to try at least 18 weekly recipes to pick from. They have this one shrimp pad Thai with rice noodles and sugar snap peas. They have Hawaiian loco moco with teriyaki chicken and fried eggs. What did you have on Wednesday?
Well, the beginning of this week was there was steak. Lauren, what was the steak? The steak, it was steak and those vegetables, right? Do you remember the name of it?
From this past week.
The Monday night was the steak. I wanted to get the beef in the beginning of the week because I knew I'd be probably having meat on Thursday. I didn't want to overload on that. But then on Tuesday night was a steak with bagna quadra, broccoli and radishes. The radishes were great. And then on the second night was the Italian sausages with stone fruit mostarda. And so apparently it's Italian. Never seen it.
Ask Lauren how easy it is to make this stuff and have her scream out the answer.
Lauren, how easy is it to make these things?
Super, super easy. A lot of the recipes are even speedy. So I know that when Frank's coming home after a show, it's quick 20 minutes and it's on the table and ready to go. Delicious stuff, good ingredients, all fresh.
Yeah.
It's great. Makes it super easy for me. And I'm learning new things all the time.
See, I love it. This is completely organic, guys. This is not what they told us to do.
I know. When Tracy said that Sunbasket wanted to come on and get in with the show again, I said, "Oh, this is going to be easy because it's a nightly routine." In fact, there's one more recipe we have for this week, and it's the Hawaiian garlic shrimp with coconut rice.
Oh, that sounds good. You know what I love? They do a cauliflower rice. I'm sure you've had it.
The cauliflower rice, I've also, in recent weeks, what is it, Lauren? Jade rice? I love jade rice.
They have such great stuff.
What the hell is this?
I mean, thank you, Lauren.
No problem.
Thank you. This is really, I mean, seriously, guys, like we've used it out of our own pocket. We've bought it. They're not giving it to us. We're buying Sunbasket.
I wish they would, but whatever.
I know. You guys can go to sunbasket.com/dark to light to get up to $60 off of your order. Visit sunbasket.com/dark to light to learn more about this limited time $60 off special. If you guys hit up sunbasket.com/dark to light, it helps us too. And I'm telling you, we can speak from experience. It's great.
You know what? One funny thing that did happen about a month ago with Sunbasket. I did a show. It was the night. It was the day that all of the Trump started talking about the southern border and about the tariffs, about whether or not there is going to be tariffs put on Mexico unless they help stem the tide of illegal immigrants. And because there's no other way for the left to cover this with any kind of common sense, without, you know, tipping their cap to common sense, where, you know, it is in our best interest to stop what's going on in the border, they instead deferred to telling the country that if these tariffs went into place, the impact is going to be on your avocado consumption. So I came home from this highly critical broadcast where we I made a lot of avocado jokes and anti-Mexican avocado jokes and all that stuff. And Lauren is she's making the sun basket in the recipe for the night. In the, it was probably one of those I don't know. They were really great wraps, chicken, mm-hmm. spicy, good stuff. Either way, I get home. She's in the kitchen. And I say hello and all that stuff. And I'm just hanging out by her over her shoulder. And I said, what is that? And I looked on the counter and there was a little dark orb on the on the countertop. And there I said, is that an avocado? And she goes, I know. I just heard the show. I said, well, what do we do? I don't. She goes, is it from Mexico? I pick it up. I look at the label. It is from Mexico. So then she says, do we use it? I said, well, we've already bought it.
Yeah, so, you're forced.
We had to. We were thinking, do we protest this avocado?
Do we toss it? What do we do?
Yeah,
well, so, you could take the seeds and start your own avocado farm in the backyard, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, New York climate, I don't know how that's going to work.
What was next for me? I had something else here I wanted to talk. Oh, two things. Number one, I don't think we talked about this. No. Did we talk about Eddie Gallagher on Wednesday?
No.
Eddie Gallagher, the story we've been following for weeks and weeks and weeks now, was acquitted of all charges except taking a photo next to a dead person. The jury came back and acquitted him of everything. So he's free.
Why? Because this way he went on to say that it was a mercy killing, right?
It wasn't him, though. This is what ended up happening. The gentleman who took responsibility for killing the ISIS terrorist by putting his thumb over the breathing tool or the breathing hole, he had immunity. And he admitted on the stand that he was the one who killed him as a mercy killing. Eddie Gallagher isn't the one who killed him. So once that happened,
how did he get immunity?
The prosecution gave him immunity to testify against Gallagher.
So he got immunity to testify against Gallagher.
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes up onto the stand and in a surprise move, he says that Gallagher did nothing wrong.
Pretty much.
Now, would that be a violation of the deal that he struck, and would his immunity be lost, or was this just a way to get onto the stand?
They're thinking about it. They're thinking about it because there's no way for them to go after him for the murder. But what they can do is they can do other administrative things to him that they may do or may not do. I mean, it would be so controversial at this point for them to try and attack the guy that I think they're not going to do it. They're going to let it go. Mm. But the thing is, he did get sentenced for the photo. He's going to have his rank reduced, which is a huge deal for someone of his stature because it affects your pay, your pension and all that. And he's been sentenced to 4 months of confinement, which he's already served as he was waiting. So there's no jail time there. He's going to retire from the U.S. Navy when he becomes eligible in about 3 weeks as he hits 20 years of service. He was found not guilty on 6 of the most serious counts he was facing, including premeditated murder, willfully discharging a firearm to endanger human life, retaliation against members of his platoon for reporting his alleged actions, obstruction of justice, and the attempted murders of 2 noncombatants. He will be reduced to an E6 pay grade.
E6?
Yeah. And then they also sentenced him to pay $2,697 per month for 4 months. The judge actually reduced that so that he would only have to do it for 2 months. And I don't know. I'm just looking to see what he actually ends up.
What was his rank before he got reduced?
Doesn't say it was high up there. It was up there. He's gotten medals of honor and all kinds of stuff. He was a what was he? Hold on. I should know this off the top of my head. Eddie Gallagher's rank. It doesn't, I can't see it anywhere. They're just saying he was demoted, but they didn't say what he was.
Gotcha.
All right. He was a petty officer, first class, special warfare operator, chief petty officer.
Well, this was an interesting story.
Yeah, it really was. It really was. He couldn't lead any platoon or anything with his reduced rank. So he would have been, if he stayed in, not a leader anymore. But he's not. So there's that. And we've got one more news story, too.
What's that?
I'm really happy, though, first, before we even go to that. I'm really happy that this ended up the way it did. Oops. Stop it. Stop.
What? This episode?
No, the sound came on. No, I was Eddie Gallagher. I was happy about Eddie Gallagher.
Oh,
Gallagher.
Gotcha.
But when I was playing this, I'm about to read this article, and the sound started coming on, and you can't hear it, but they can. In the mix of all the crazy, Frank, Catherine Herridge released an article with new stroke page text messages.
I think I see this. I've seen this one.
Basically, they are debating with one another, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, how much information that they'll be sharing with the Justice Department about the meeting in London after they opened up the Russia investigation.
I didn't see the Catherine Herridge thing, but I did put aside an article from Sarah Carter.
Which is the Catherine Herridge article.
It is. Okay. Where they're talking about how they're considering lines of what we disclose and make sure that you going over strategies to lawfully protect themselves and their investigation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I just want to say before we go on to the story, if by some happenstance I ever had my own media corporation or company or outfit, collating is not something that you'd ever see on it. It frustrates me. Does it frustrate you? Like, you're on Sarah Carter's website. She is sharing 3 or 4 paragraphs of someone else's article and then the read more button on the bottom. And then when you click it, it brings you to the other person's site.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what it is? I think I don't know. I have considered doing things like that on my site only because I'm not really a journalist. I'm not anything like that, but I always think about things that I can populate my blog with that have to do with things that we talk about on the show. But I don't know.
I have an aversion to it.
I would much rather put the whole copy and paste the whole thing with all citations and links rather than do the read more stuff. Or is
no, the read more is the only credit or hat tip that someone gets because that counts as a view.
Right. But I would put that at the top. I would make sure that, hey, this is all from so and so. Here's the link, blah, blah, blah. But I would just host it. I don't know. Then again, I don't even know if that is legal. Is that right?
I don't think there's any rules against it. And, you know, like if you're like a... Let's pretend Drudge, right? Drudge has his website and then he's got links to all the stories with like a brief summary for some of them, right? That's how he does his. But all of the you can't read their website. You can't read the story on Drudge. You have to go to the person or the website that wrote it to read it.
Right.
But like if you're going to do original content, collating to me is just basically like I can... It's almost like a glorified share on social media. I don't know. It's just something that it just bothers me because then I go, because usually what happens is Sarah Carter and Catherine Herridge, they do the same story. Catherine Herridge will do one thing and Sarah Carter will add to it or vice versa. That's usually what happens. They kind of work unofficially as a tandem. Uh-huh. So when I saw this on Carter's website, I was like, ooh, I was like, good. I'll get Carter's spin and I'll get Herridge's spin. And then I clicked on it and I'm like, this is the exact article that Catherine Herridge wrote, but it's on Sarah Carter's website. Why? Weird. Just my opinion. Anyway.
Yeah.
They have a scribed upload of these text messages and they are still, for the most part, redacted. But what you see is handwritten into the redaction boxes, words in handwriting. And there are new names in here. There's Ben. There's Richard. There's David. We don't know who they're talking about. But they're handwritten in. So who wrote this stuff?
Are those all just code names?
Could be. Could be. But this is basically what it looks like is either Herridge's notes or somebody wrote in here and gave it to Herridge. You should look at it.
Okay.
Seriously, it's interesting because that means to me that there's somebody who she's corresponding with who knows what's under the redactions and is leaking it to her to the point where she has to write it in herself. It's to me, that's substantial. Because it means that this is not something that's been unmasked anywhere else. Usually she'll share the newly unredacted messages given to her by whoever gives the information to her.
Text messages between former FBI officials Peter Strzok and Lisa Page debating how much information to share with the Justice Department about a London meeting days after the Bureau opened its initial Russian investigation are drawing fresh scrutiny as alleged surveillance abuse in the probe's origins are investigated by three separate probes, Fox News has learned. Mm. Well, I would love to see these probes wrap the hell up.
I will say it is making progress.
Now, okay, good. That's what I was.
I can say it with confidence.
Do you have a source?
I do.
How much about this source are you willing to disclose?
Nothing.
Okay. Is your source Eric Swalwell?
God, how did you guess it so quickly?
Is your source Andrew Yang?
Does your source have glasses and a mustache? Like guess who?
Guess who? Does your source have freckles?
Look, I got to tell you a quick story about that because I used to love Guess Who. Did you?
Yeah, I actually played a few games in April or May with my nephew.
Okay. So we got this for Christmas in my household, Guess Who? Me and Helga are playing a nice friendly round of Guess Who? And it was one of my favorite games, and logic is kind of a strong suit for me if you didn't know already. So we get to the very end of the game and she wins, and I'm just like, how is that even possible? Yeah. She lied to me about one of my answers.
That little rascal.
I said to somebody, do they have glasses? And she said yes, but they didn't. So of course I flipped down all the wrong characters, eliminating my choice, any hope I had to name the right character. Gone. Well,
what are you going to do?
Cheater. I'm like, nobody taught you how to be this way. Nobody in this house taught you this way. Little brat. She's laughing. I'm like, that's great. You won by cheating. You must feel great about yourself, Viviana.
Yeah, that's like me when I was starting to learn how to play solitaire, and instead of throwing three cards down, I would slip. Oh, that's the card I need. I'd slip. Oh, you know, just this one. No, it doesn't count. The whole thing is tainted now, Frank. You know, when I was just learning, my grandparents taught me how to play solitaire when I was in like second grade. And I used to hate being restricted by having to put three cards down at a time. It's like, why do I have to have this restriction? I can just take it one at a time.
If I only could get to that four.
Exactly. The four is holding everything up.
Oh, goodness. So let's do go to Drudge Report real quick as we close out today.
I'm there.
Let's do a headline read, shall we?
Sure. June jobs boom. Record employed. So there you go. That's another win for Democrats right there.
Oh, because there's so many people working?
Yeah. Trump celebrates U.S. might, avoids politics in rousing speech. Every time I was sitting there listening to this, to certain portions of this speech, I could hear Democrats and lefties that are trying to write down some of their criticisms for the evening, because there's only a few kinds of words that they go to, and they love going to phrases like, it was very dark. It was very dark.
No, that's and then that'll permeate, right?
Yeah.
That permeates the language, a dark speech. That's what they did to his first State of the Union.
And the inauguration.
Yep.
It was a dark, dark speech. It was full of jingoism and blah, blah, blah. Dark.
Dark, dark, dark.
Dark, stormy
dark,
day.
Dark, orange man bad. Dark, dark, dark.
That's
dark.
It. We are evolved. We are evolved. Abortion is health care. White House faces court deadline to reveal census citizenship plan. Confusion spreads. Oh, well, that's good. Russian sub that caught fire linked to underwater drone program. They're asking, was this sub sent to cut underwater internet cables?
Ooh.
I don't know. The curious mystical text behind Marianne Williamson's presidential bid, if you want to call it that. Biden attacks Trump as he tries to pivot from busing debate. You know, just go and drown it. I feel like Biden's like, please, can somebody help? Can I go attack Trump because I'm drowning in the kiddie pool over here? It's like, if you're drowning in the kiddie pool, why are you going to try to attack Trump? That's the Olympic size pool.
Yeah, you can't play in there.
If you can't survive the kiddie pool with these Marxist rabble rousers, what the hell are you doing jumping into the 8-foot deep pool? Can't do it.
No. Keep going, because there's some good ones down below here.
Waters, it's not a very funny time. Mad Magazine to cease publication. Well, yeah, you're right. It's not funny.
The next
Hollywood
one.
Franchise fatigue drives down global ticket sales.
That's not what it is.
French priest defrocked for abusing scouts in landmark case. Well, all right.
70-year-old marathon runner accused of cheating found dead in a river. This is...
70-year-old marathon runner accused of cheating found dead in a river. I guess the cheating went too far. Probably bet on himself.
Maybe. This is the New York Post.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Which river was he found? Were they found in?
He was found in... doesn't say. The Los Angeles River.
The Los Angeles River. He did not... He insisted he did not cheat. Well, gotta see who he owes.
Yeah.
Owes money. Let's see here. E-scooters transport tsunami flooding cities worldwide. Wait, what? Transport tsunami flooding cities worldwide?
Where is that one?
Second column, about down by the bottom.
E-scooters transport tsunami floating cities.
Flooding.
Flooding city.
They're going to transport entire cities on e-scooters?
Cheap, widely available, and easily unlocked with a smartphone app. I don't understand. They buried the lead in this story. I'm not reading this gobbledygook from. I'm not doing it anyway.
They always do this. I mean, it's like reading hieroglyphics sometimes on Drudge.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Spacey accuser drops lawsuit against the actor.
That's interesting.
So he weaseled out of that. Then again, every couple of months we get one headline about Harvey Weinstein slowly slipping out of the grasp of his problems as well.
Speaking of which, Crazy Days and Nights released 20 blinds last night. I retweeted it on my page.
What were they saying?
There were some really good ones. There were some really good ones about Lindsay Lohan. Oh, this one's good. Let me tell you a story. Lindsay Lohan figured out that this guy was like a multi-billionaire or whatever. And she ended up having a one-night stand with him. And then she became very clingy. And so he decided that he was going to tell her that he was a multi-billionaire. And he was trying to do a deal with like the EU. And that he couldn't, let me just see if I could find it. He couldn't get the deal done or something of that matter. And so he needed Lindsay Lohan to go undercover and try and sleep with the people involved in the deal to try and get them to do the deal with him. And she did it.
Ah.
But she didn't realize, like, he even hired people to follow her. I'm going to find it and read it to you because
she went out. She went out and did that, huh?
She did. As per.
All right. Listen, Lindsay, I need you to go bang this person for me. You got it, boss.
There's a stuff in there about the the Bohemian Grove.
Wow.
Hold on.
You know what else? While you're looking for that, there's something else I see over here. Troubles Univision owners want out. I started compiling articles the other day, but it started getting tedious. I would love somebody out there to make a big master post about all of the media outlets who have downsized, shut down, discontinued print publication, going just to digital, have sold, went bankrupt, whether it be Salon or Univision over here or BuzzFeed or Vice shutting down. I would love for a master post to be compiled of all of the downsizings, the bankruptcies, the sell-offs, the mergers, because there is a tremendous pattern that I think everybody – there's a story to be told just from what has been done to the media, and because there's only one side of the media that's really taken the hit. And even though there's, you know, that one side of the media is most of the mainstream media, it's where all the corporate money flows to. It would be great to see that put all into frame.
Listed. Yeah, no,
all listed.
I agree. That is a good exercise.
Someone, if anybody out there wants to take that up, please
do it.
Do it.
I've got a couple blinds for you. We'll go through at the end here, and then we'll close it out because these are good, and I'll link them in the show notes below. Enty is an entertainment lawyer who is a gossip queen or king, and he gets all kinds of insider information that he puts up in a very anonymous-sounding way, and then later on reveals to the world who the people are behind these tidbits. So this one is I'm going to read it. Is it the greatest practical joke of all time? Wow, that's tough because we don't even know every practical joke that has ever existed. But out of the ones I'm aware of, this is right up there. And it's also a little sad, which seems to happen when a joke is particularly good. So apparently there's this guy who's married and was playing poker one night and got a little buzzed. Who slides up next to him but this former almost A-list, mostly movie actress who is Lowen, who basically asks if he wants some company. One thing leads to another and they have sex. Apparently during the night, our actress Googles the guy and finds out how much he's worth and decides she wants some of those hundreds of millions, wife be damned. So she starts putting on the full court press and calls his office and cell and shows up in places where he is. He wants her out of his life, so he talks to some of his friends and passes out some money and decides it'll be fun. She wants to meet him in Belgium where she's about to start filming. He agrees, which much have probably shocked her. When they meet, he's looking over his shoulder and acting like he's being followed. He passes her a room key and tells her to meet him. She shows up and he explains to her that he's trying to acquire another company and needs permission of the EU for the merger to take place. At least two other companies are trying to close the deal and are following him around to see who he talks to. So he's trying to get members of the appropriate committee on his side, but the woman that he had originally had set up to meet with them bailed on him. Does she know anyone who could help? Our actress, seeing it as a chance to use her wiles and accents, says she'll take on the task and with the help of the businessman goes about seducing or attempting to seduce members of this EU governing body to try and get the sale approved. And her boyfriend may dump the wife and marry the actress if she succeeds, right? So the guys our business person hired pretend to tail the actress and make her feel like she's living in a spy movie, and she's skipping filming just to find these guys and sleep with them. Finally, after the fourth or fifth guy, she asks one of them about the merger, and the guy has absolutely no idea what she's talking about. So she goes back to the others too, and they have no idea what she's talking about either. And then she realizes she's been had, but to this day, she will tell you she was a spy. Ouch.
And that is all supposed to be Lohan?
Yep. I have one that'll really get you.
What's that?
Keanu Reeves.
What about him?
I've written and spoken about this case before. What I never knew until Sunday night is that this permanent A-list, mostly movie actor who recently got a career boost a couple years ago with a new franchise, Keanu Reeves, reached out to police about this case. He wasn't home when it happened, but came home a few days after. Because his house has a lot of video cameras and it was in the right place at the right time, he had video, which could really be useful. The cameras were focused more on the front yard and door, so you can't see the actual crime in progress, but you could see the shape of a person coming and fleeing afterwards. He called the police and told them, but they didn't seem interested. He had his agent call for him too, and still the police weren't interested. When he downloaded the footage and emailed it to them, he never heard back. He thinks it shows the killer because of the timestamp, and to this day is frustrated because he can't find out if anyone ever saw it. It's Keanu Reeves as the actor in the Ronnie Chasen murder. Ronnie Chasen was a PR executive, very high up. The murder stunned Hollywood.
When?
She died. She was a publicist. She died in November of 2010.
And wait, how does he have security cam footage? Were they living together?
No, the murder took place. She was killed. She was shot. And his house must have been in the vicinity.
Oh, so they have like adjoining properties, and he naturally picked up some of what was going on her side through his cameras?
No, she was actually killed not near her home. She was in a car accident and then was shot. So wherever this happened was near Keanu Reeves' house, where he had cameras headed, you know, pointed there, and he can see people running. So he thought it could help them catch the perpetrator. But it just lends credence to your theory about Keanu Reeves, is all I'm saying.
He's one of the good guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's one of the good guys.
Yeah.
Another guy that I think Robert Downey Jr. I think is a guy who had a turnaround.
Agreed.
I think he had a major turnaround, and I think he's one of the good guys now.
I agree with you 100% on him. Yep.
There's people like Vince Vaughn. I think there's also, even though his reputation has taken a bruising, but Mel Gibson.
Yeah. Yeah.
He'd be a very, very hard person to bring up in conversation with around a lot of different types of people. But because, you know, he's taken a bruising, and much of it to his own fault, substance abuse and all that stuff, really easy to pin things on. And, you know, he's the but aside from that, I try to get a little bit better understanding or a scope of what the hell's going on out there.
We had a lot of stuff going on in Hollywood lately, so that.
But here's the thing, you know, we're talking about black hats, white hats, gray hats. What's going on? This cannot continue. Even if we are always doomed to repeat this kind of insanity, where there are always new crops of criminals and tyrants and tycoons that come up and start taking over an industry and start looking at it as their own personal playground, where they get very mafia-like, gangsterism starts flourishing, they establish their own power centers, and everything goes on, and it becomes much more. Than just making movies and television shows, where they actually start sending out their actresses, like, you know, like Bond villains, you know, and they start
yachting
to try to seduce politicians and get things going for them, and all of a sudden they get into worldwide politics, and then all of a sudden they're Kingpin from Daredevil, you know, things like that. But my whole thing here is that when the hell. And are we going to have the privilege of seeing that all get torn down, even if we are doomed to repeat it all again in the next 100 years, 150 years? Are we going to see that torn down, at least for now, and have it all outed and give us a way to hit the reset button on everything? That's what I always hope for, not only just in Hollywood, but also in the political sphere. Would love to see that happen.
That's what we're doing right now, right? I mean... That's what we're kind of doing. I know. I'd love to see it happen, too.
So.
Well, listen, it was a good one today. We've got it feels like the middle of the week. I don't know what's going on with my clock. Very weird. But we've got another one on Monday. Thanks for listening to today's show. You've been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with.
Happy 4th of July, you commie bastard Val.
And Beans, you guys can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple iTunes, and RadioInfluence.com. We will see you Monday.
See ya.
Radio Influence strives to bring you excellence in podcasting. We work with personalities like TV chef Brian Duffy, radio personalities like Ian Beckles, news and political pundits like independent journalists Frank and Tracy Beans, experts from the sports world like veteran football scout and coach Chris Landry, pro wrestling personality David Penzer, MMA experts Jason Floyd and Daniel Galvan, and strength and conditioning coach Jeff Crochelle. If you're looking for food, sports, music, entertainment, politics, no matter the topic, Radio Influence has something for everyone. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.